280 years ago, it took me a minute to realize that when we talk about John Wesley, Charles Wesley and stuff, they're really a long time ago. 280 years is quite a while in my mind. So May 24th, as we have, you know, the portrait of John Wesley up here, May 24th is when he was at Aldersgate and he had that salvation experience, the warming of his heart. There's the beginning of his personal salvation. May 24th of 1968, which is only 50 years ago, was when the United Brethren and the Methodist Church came together, and we became the United Methodist Church. Now, some folks might look at that word united and go, are we really united? Perhaps we are, sometimes we're not, but still we have a 50-year celebration. We've worked out a lot of issues. We have issues facing us as a church, but we're still together. We're still together. Marv Voss, who's our district superintendent, sent me an email. And I bring you some of these things up because they're joyful celebrations. John Wesley, our 50-year anniversary of the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church, but also Marv Voss, our district superintendent, sent me an email. And anytime I see a thing that says Marv Voss on it, it kind of gets my attention. You know, because I go, oh, have I messed up somehow? Never thinking to go, well, maybe he's happy about something. So he goes, Dave, great job. He says, I just looked at your giving for the year so far as a church for our apportionments that we give to the conference. He's really pleased because we're giving money each month to the conference. Over the last couple of years, we haven't been able to do that at all. And this is part of that continuing the faithfulness on your part, on our part, of tithing has made a difference for us as a church. It's also made a difference for us because now people are going, Aldersgate is rebounding. Aldersgate is on the way back. Aldersgate's not dying. It's full of life. It's going to continue to have life. So pat yourselves on the back. Okay, do that. Don't stretch it down to where you have to have a heating pad and pain pills today. But, you know, pat yourself on the back. So you go, okay, Dave, how are you going to wrap this into the rest of the sermon? Our church, has our church over the last several years been shaken? Yeah, it has. Quite dramatically in several cases, it's been shaken. But here you are. You're still here. I'm glad for that. I'm glad you're here. Otherwise, I don't know where I'd be as a pastor right now. But you have been shaken. And you have stuck it out. You're survivors. You're on the rebound. And God is going, I'm giving you my spirit anew every day. So let's go back to Psalm 16:8. It says, I always put the Lord in front of me. I will not stumble because he is on my right side. If you recall, where's Jesus sitting in heaven? He's on the right side of God. He's in the seat of power. And that, every time you see that, David, out of Psalm 16, he has God in front of him and God beside him. So does he have to fear anybody? Not one bit. Psalms 62:6. Only God is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. What a tremendous statement to say. I will not be shaken because I have God. He is my stronghold. He is my fortress. So let's think about our condition for a minute as people, as Christians. We've all had our own times of trial and tribulation where we have been shaken somehow physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all those conditions in one way or another. Is there anybody in here who has not been shaken to their roots at once or twice? Great. You're all telling the truth. Good for you. Okay. Physically, we are overwhelmed by pain and other illnesses or disease that rack our bodies. Mentally, we are overcome by stress, loss of loved ones or jobs, or the sudden loss of two people in 1 week. Financially, those are just some of the things that mentally or emotionally we can be affected. Spiritually, though, can this be the most painful time of your life is when you were being tested, trials, tribulations, and you're a lot of pain spiritually. You're suffering. Do you ever feel that you are totally out of touch with God? Hello, God, are you here? Are you up there? Are you around me? Or am I really on my own? Do you question yourself in your walk? So while you're in this dilemma, you tell yourself, what's the point of all this? Well, what is the point of all this? Pick up your Bible that you have in front of you in the pew, and let's go to the book of James. James is one of those books that when you read it, if you don't, sometimes you'll feel full of hope, and other times you feel condemned because of what it has to say, because it's pretty blunt. So who'd like to read for me James 1, and we're looking at verses 2 through 5. Where's the mic at? Oh, Wayne, thanks for picking that up. Would you mind reading James? And he hands off to Verlaine. Okay, let's go to James 1, verses 2 through 5.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him.
Thank you. Okay, hang on to the mic because you'll be handing it off here to somebody else. So think about it. What's it feel like to hear what James has to say when he says, consider it all joy, trials, tribulations, all these things? Do you kind of go, hey, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to know about those things. But yet he's saying, count it all joy, because when those things are happening in your life, Jesus is at work. The Holy Spirit's inside working in you. Those three simple verses tell you what you will encounter in your life. You're not always going to have trials. You're not always going to have tribulations. You're not always going to have temptations, but they are going to happen. But yet he says, count it all joy. Because what this tells you is God is there for you. He's just not going to send you off into a situation and not make sure you don't have the power to overcome it, to withstand it at the same time. So he's giving you wisdom throughout this trial. So, Dave being Dave, I'm kind of the optimist. Rather than a pessimist, I'm an optimist. So I look at this and I go, be of good cheer. God our Lord is right beside you. You look at Psalm 16, Psalm 62, and now what we just read out of James 1. They glorify God. They let you know that God is right there beside you. Now, when you're going through a tough trial and tribulation, you've got this temptation facing you. You go, well, do I or don't I? Do you ever quote Scripture to fight back? Sometimes? Maybe? How many times do you actually forget to quote Scripture? Because Scripture is one of the ways to strengthen you, to strengthen yourself. When Jesus was being tempted during his 40 days, what did he quote when the portions that we have of the temptations, what did he quote to Satan when Satan was tempting him? What did he quote? Not the specific verses, but he quoted to him Scripture, God's word. He used God's word as that weapon against Satan to drive him away. Psalm 16, Psalm 62, and then Psalms 18, we're going to go over in a few minutes. All of them glorify God. He is right next to you. Our God is not going to send you anywhere and leave you alone. He is always going to be with you. So what else does James say? Let's go down to a couple more verses. Six, seven, and eight. Who'd like to read that? All right, Jenny, thank you.
But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. because he who doubts is like a wave at the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. That's very powerful. He says, ask in faith without doubting. Because when you doubt, you're like the waves of the sea that are just tossed around, to and fro. James says that you're double-minded. Wow. How damning is that? You are double-minded. So, when you ask, seek, or knock to Christ, do it with faith, not doubting. That's the whole crux of it. All right, let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. Who'd like to read that? Let's send the mic over to the other pews, to the other side. And give it to Lisa.
Yeah. Okay.
She saw that coming. All right, let's do Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you. So there's three key items here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Anybody in here had anxiety attacks lately? Or stress? Or other things? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of you should probably have your hands up there going, anxiety? Yeah. Got a boatload of it. But let the peace of God, let it rule. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. David, continually in Psalms, said, meditate on the word day and night. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot. But when you're driving, throw in an audiobook. I go, see, Bonnie, you do audiobooks when you're driving, right? Okay, so that's a great way to listen to scripture or other books, of course, but do that. Go to K-Love. What is that? 107.5? Go to it's what?
88.7.
Yeah. But there's different places where you can receive the word while you're driving. Have something on that's a little more Christian oriented instead of rap. Not that I'm knocking rap, because our parents knocked rock and roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we go, huh? But there's lots of ways to meditate on a word. When was the last time you took something and you memorized it? You memorized it. More than once, I've used Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. Verse 7 goes on, and the peace of God will be upon you. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the Lord Jesus. That's what those three verses, 15 through 17, are saying from Colossians. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the Lord Jesus. One more reading to do. Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4. Who would like to do that? Keep it over here on this side. Colossians 3. Who wants to volunteer to read that one? All right, thanks, Sue.
Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
That's very powerful. What a promise. Okay, so my version, I use the NASB. It says, Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Wow, what a presence. What a promise that is for God, from God to us. What a promise. If you, when you are going through your trials, back to James, in James 1, if you're going through the trial, it's easy to be negative about it and say, I can't do it. It's easy to fall into that and be depressed and all sorts of other negative feelings and emotions. Cry out to God and say, Lord, I can't do it, but I know I can do it in you. And the peace of God will fall upon you, and he'll give you the presence of the Holy Spirit who will help you through this. Call one another. Call me. You've got my cell phone. Text me. Call me. 3 a.m, I'd rather you didn't. You know, because, you know, I'm getting my beauty sleep at that point. But, you know, if you need to call, call, because I'm your pastor. So call me. I can pray for you. And I may pray for a lot more for you than you think you want me to. And you'll go, why is all this happening to me? And you'll go, oh, I told Dave. Dave loves to pray for you. But you can do it. Philippians 4:13. Anybody in here got Philippians 4:13 memorized? Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. See, if I'll say it and you say it with me if you do it, if you know it. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So if you go to God and say, I can't do it, he's going to come back and go, flip to page whatever, Philippians 4:13. You can do it. Have hope. Have hope. Don't be down in the mouth. It's not going to work. So we're going to do a little meditation time. You go, ah, gee, Dave, I got coffee waiting for me. But it's just only take a minute or two or longer. I'm capable of talking for a long time. Ask my poor wife. You laugh. Okay, this is the part where I need to, if you'll go back up there for the piano, Janice. So this is the part where I bring in Psalms 18, because we haven't talked about Psalms 18 yet. But all I'm going to do is read to you some excerpts. So if you want to go to Psalms 18 and follow along, that's fine. Otherwise, you can also close your eyes and just listen. We can go either way. But we're looking at Psalms 18. Guess it'd help if I went to Psalms 18 too. So David, this is a very powerful Psalms. And this is one of those things where if you start getting into some kind of a battle, some kind of a trial, all those sorts of things, and the world's ganging up on you, go to Psalms 18. It's 50 verses. It's one of the longer Psalms. It's 50 verses. But it's a very powerful psalm, and this is one you can use to go against the world and everything in it, because your God is strong. Our God is strong. Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Proclamation. Verses 4 through 6. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Death was upon David at that point. Verses 20 and 21. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. That's David's personal part in all this. We also have a personal part in our walk with the Lord. 37 through 42. Look at this as a perspective of prayer. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They cried for help, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them fine as the dust before the wind. I emptied them out as the mire of the streets. Pursue your enemies. When you're under trial and tribulation, when you feel you're under attack, problems are mounting, fears are there, you have doubts, things like that, go to Psalms 18. Pursue the enemy. Pray against them. In verse 43, you delivered me from the contentions of the people. You have placed me as head of the nations. This is where he's now talking about being the king. He'll deliver us. God promises to deliver us. And in 46 through 50, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. We're all part of descent. We are all descendants of that nation in one way or another. He gives thanks to God. Verse 49, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord. Don't be afraid to proclaim that. Proclaim the thanks of the Lord to those around you. So in times of trial and doubt, go to Psalms 18. It's a wonderful set of verses. Read it out loud. Don't care who else is in the house. You got dogs, cats, or a fish. Sit down next to them and read it with them. And if they bow wow and howl, well, hey, no, they're tracking with you. But read this. Use this. The Bible is rich with promises from God to help you when you feel that you are getting ready to fall apart. But God's not going to let you stumble. Proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ using Psalms 18 as your flag, as your banner, as your weapon, as your shield, along with Ephesians 6, 10 through 16, putting on the full armor of God. So let's close our eyes here. Close our eyes. So this whole morning has been about we will not be shaken. We've got verses out of James. We've got verses out of Colossians. We have verses out of Psalms. We will not be shaken. So place God in front of you, like Psalm 16 and 62. Place God in front of you and place him on the right-hand side of you. Let him carry the fight. You be the faithful follower. You be the faithful proclaimer of Jesus Christ in your life. Let the Holy Spirit do what it's supposed to do for you as your comforter, as your consoler. It empowers you. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be victorious. You're not going to stumble and fall. You might get a little shook up every once in a while, but the Lord is still there, and he's never very far away. So in the mornings, maybe something to think about is, I'm going to put the Lord in front of me, and I'm going to put the Lord on my right-hand side. And wherever I go, he's right there. And as Jill said one time when she felt the presence of God in the car, in the seat next to her, put on your seatbelt. So put on your seatbelt with the Lord, because you'll go for a very victorious ride with him. Whether it's God the Father, our Creator, God the Son, who's our source of salvation, or God the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be victorious, surround yourself with God. Today's Trinity Sunday as a celebration. So take the Trinity and go, I claim the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to be around me, in me, and pouring out of me. Now, when we end this service, if any of you want to be prayed for this, I'll gladly anoint you and pray for you. If you feel the need after the service to just stay in here and just pray for a little bit, please do so. This is your sanctuary. This is your place of refuge. So take just a minute. I'll be quiet. Take just a minute and pray to the Lord. And go, Father, how do I make all this happen? What do I do? So go ahead and pray for just a minute.